Hey, good morning. You surprised me there. I thought I was getting an obituary there when you were reading
all that. No, that's just to let people know about you. Oh, and just in case they have forgotten what you sounded like when you were Red Hand Luke.
Well, it just swap up for. Merry Christmas, Luke. She's not one bit merry, Andrew. Not after what I got in my stocking this morning. Luke, two empty boxes and an envelope with a note in it saying, you should have your thieving hands cut off, yo ho ho.
It's a bit weird. My favourite was I went round to Andy's house and says, Andrew, my TV's broke. Can I watch yours? And Andy, Uncle Andy says, I certainly look. He says, well, bring it round to my house.
So, I don't know where to start. You're in this play in the lyric.
No, I'm not. You're not. And directed it. You see, for all your fancy information and your screens and everything in here.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I co-wrote it with Colin Murphy, comedian extraordinaire.
Very funny man.
Oh, what a guy. And Gary Mitchell, the playwright. Mm-hmm. Serious, proper playwright. So that was a bit scary because he's written like about 45 plays, you know, with 22 radio plays and with 23 others. So it was a kind of an unusual combination. The lyric said, we'd like a review of 2012.
Yes.
And we'd like you to put it together. And so I thought of using these two guys. And
how did you talk them into it? Because I presume Gary Mitchell wouldn't have done that sort of thing before.
No,
and I'm fairly sure that Colin Murphy hasn't.
No, neither really had done it. Although they're both very funny guys. And when somebody said to Gary, what made you do it? He said, the money. So I thought, well, that's fair enough. I thought it was
honest.
My persuasive charm, you know. But no, Gary is, although he does write and tackle serious subjects, he would have a lot of humour in his everyday life and the way he works and talks. And in the rehearsal room, he's a great sort of source to have there. So that was the point, get the two funny guys together. And then, and having three of us, if we would have a vote, and if two of us liked it, it stayed in.
Really?
And and that's the way it worked. And sometimes three of us liked it.
Because 2012 was a year heavily laden with news stories and with items that people will remember.
Yeah, well, no, we went through it. I mean, and there was a lot of very serious, heavy stuff happened. And it's not, I mean, the Lyric Theatre isn't just, it wasn't just a kind of whoops, there goes my panties kind of a year, you know what I mean? It was meant to be something with a bit of bite and proper satire, and that's what we've really aimed for. And there's about three or four occasions when people go, you know, that was a bit scary and close. And then there are other times it's just absolute silliness, you know, and a joke with a jig, as me granny used to talk about as well. So we're trying to do a balance, you know, and we're there's something there to offend everybody, I think.
Excellent.
You
know, was that the ambition? Is that what the three of you sat down to say?
Absolutely not. We didn't want to offend anybody. We wanted to sail close to the wind at times. I mean, we tackle everything from the Costa Concordia gets a mention, but it gets compared to Titanic.
Yes.
How the Italians saw us making money,
that.
You know?
Yeah.
and you think, oh, that's a bit naughty.
Yes.
And sadly, things that happen, like Whitney Houston, and we refer to that, and she gets tied in with Michael Jackson, and it kind of walks a narrow line, and hopefully it never crosses it, you know. And the point being, it was also looking back over the local things that happened during the year, you know, everything from the controversy at the Causeway and who really built it, you know, was it a group of builders who came in just from Germany or something like that, or was it somebody else? So stuff like that. The golfers get a rattle. Digital television. Oh, what an anticlimax that was.
No, that was wonderful. What a
this
big night that was.
This build-up. And do you know what?
To turning something off.
I actually did one of the very first digital adverts.
I remember.
And this was about 4 or 5 years ago I did it. And then when it came to the day, my wife rang me and says, we have no BBC Two.
Yeah.
And I went, oh dear. And then she rang me and says, oh, they're all off now. What are we going to do? And this was a couple of days later. I had to go down to the supermarket and buy a box. You know?
It's wonderful how we celebrate inconvenience, though, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, we
that's
love
what
that.
It was.
Yes, when something goes funny, goes off, goes wrong, then we're straight in there like a wee hairy dog. And it's also the thing of, I mean, you know, success as well. I heard you earlier talking about Rory and Caroline.
Yes.
They get a bit of a hammer. Well, Rory gets a wee bit of a duffing up. And
I'm sorry, this in 2012 became the world's greatest golfer.
Yes, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yes, he is the greatest golfer in the world.
In the world.
And I hope he stays that way, but, you know, we
what,
have
just
enough.
For you? Just to
just
give
that
you
reputation. We have that thing here. He's getting too big for his boots. It's time we started to turn on him. And please don't turn on the guy. He's great. He's doing his best. But I don't know. I worry for him as well, you know.
Why do you worry for
him? We have that reputation. Mm. After a while, wait a minute. I mean, Jimmy Nesbitt, you know, doing fabulously well. And then everybody goes, but he's had a hair transplant. You know, come on. Give him a break. You know, have you seen what he does? So, but here we get people like Nolan. Only he's called Nolman. So
Nolman.
The Stephen Nolman show. We have a rattle at him. Big Liam Neeson. He's kind of gets a mention.
Well, hold on. What has Liam Neeson done?
Liam Neeson doesn't.
Apart
Liam
from being
Taken. Taken 2.
And Taken 2.
Yeah. Well, we quote from it. You know,
which was similar to Taken.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I actually haven't seen Taken 2.
Really?
No, I haven't.
Neither have I.
I haven't had time. Yeah. I'd love to go. I mean, there's a whole list of movies, but I had Foot to the Floor since August. You mentioned The Boat Factory that I wrote, and I was in Edinburgh with it in August, and then I was into other stuff straight after that. So this is really the first time I've kind of been able to step back. So I've now got the plague and a whole lot of other diseases, I think, communicable ones. I'm just waiting on Novovirus. I have a name down for that.
Don't put your name down for that.
Oh, man.
You don't want that. Rachel's whole family had that over Christmas.
Oh, a friend of mine had it. So
Rachel lost 3 stone.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't be a bad thing for me, but, you know.
I don't know if I should mention this now, but we mentioned shortly after 7, I'm thinking of setting up a society called the Chubby Club.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a post-Christmas society.
That would be very... But you're not a chubby guy.
Oh, I'm carrying a bit now.
Oh, please. Oh, don't.
Since Christmas.
You're the kind of person that annoys me now. You're like an iron and
in
board.
In what
and
way?
Look
where do you
want
to start?
Look, I've put on so much weight. You know, you've drunk a glass of water. Give us a break. You get the Jimmy Nesbitt treatment in a minute if you're not careful.
I haven't had a hair transplant. Have you not noticed that?
Have you not?
No.
Take your hat off.
Hey! Tell us more about this play.
The look back at the year. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the things like the Olympics, we kind of have a wee rattle at that. We have a character who appears who's in... We hang the whole thing on a hospital. It's kind of A&E. So there's an old man on a trolley and there's things like that because that wouldn't happen here. And... We also have a guy who's a smoker with an oxygen bottle outside. You know the way they do? They bring their oxygen bottle outside and then they light
smoke.
Up.
Yeah.
And he throws his eye over all sorts of things and he's bonkers. And he says, the Paralympics, they were a big thing. He says, I didn't know they were for people with disabilities. I thought they were for paramilitaries. And he's a very confused man, you know.
Did you include this from the Olympic opening ceremony?
Good evening, Swan.
Oh,
Your Majesty.
The Queen.
That was some coup.
Wasn't
that
it?
That was some coup.
Can you imagine the meeting that Danny Boyle had with the Queen's people to say, I just wanted to say one phrase, that's all. Good evening, Mr. Bond. That's all she has to say. 4 words.
I think it was genius.
It was absolutely
do, because
brilliant.
I think the advisors would actually have thought, she might do that, actually. You know, that sounds all right. Because she seems to be game for a lot of stuff, you know. And I mean, she's married to Philip, she has to. But I thought that was terrific. We don't go down that road, but we do, you know, some things like I use projection in the show and my film stuff. So it's a bit like the Fast show on stage where we'll cut between an advert. I'll not give too much away, but you know those kind of ads that go on, they're very repetitive. You know that ad, and it's been on. We run an ad called WeBurnAnyCar.com. I'll leave your imagination to what happens in that. You know. But again, relating to the sort of stuff that's been going on here over the years, you know. Yeah. And we've 9 songs in the show as well, all original songs. One of them's called "The Troubles Are Over in Ulster."
Sounds like a poignant song.
It's kind of both, you know. It's got the troubles are over in Ulster, the troubles are over in the north of Ireland, the troubles are over here. It's got a double edge to it.
There's an irony there as well. I remember you when you were at college, you had a choice to make, didn't you? Because you train to be a PE teacher?
I did. That's and I still walk like one. It's like I have a lot of beanbags in my pocket. Yeah.
Because I can remember you going to training sessions whilst you were acting.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. No, I did. I actually was quite a good rugby player.
That's what
know?
I heard.
But I went along. This is awful at confession. I went along to play for the Possibles against the Probables for Ulster schoolboys. And I was also doing a play and I was worried about getting my nose broken. And I thought, he probables, guys, you want it more than me, you can have it. I need my nose. That was an awful thing to do. But yeah, because I played hooker, you know, and prop. So I kind of made a conscious decision way back then that I don't want to get my nose busted. And also the first day I walked into college, Jimmy Davison, God rest him, who was the Ireland coach for about a very short space of time, years ahead of his time, a brilliant, brilliant man. But Jimmy had only played five or six times for Ireland, and his face was really busted up. And I thought, no, I don't need ears like that, or nose like that, or broken cheekbones.
It limits the number of roles you can get.
Kind of does,
it?
Yeah. You can be Rocky or Rocky.
That's it.
Yeah, and as long as they make 15 films, you'll be all right, you know. Yeah. So, no, unfortunately, I chickened out.
Here, you were talking about Rory earlier on, and here's a clip of Rory during the year.
It is thick. In places, it's very thick.
Do you have any idea what he's talking about?
His hair?
Yeah.
It had to be, really.
Yeah.
That was a good guess.
It was.
Rory appears in our show in the lyric as well, so he does. Because, again, without giving too much away, he sings a song called I Want to Be an American Citizen. It's a rewrite of the Green Day, American Idiot.
American Idiot.
And, because, I mean, he's got that whole thing ahead of him in 2016 about which flag I'm going to study. I shouldn't even have said that word.
No.
Let's talk about something else.
No. On so many levels, that sentence was wrong.
That took us down
a number of avenues that are one-way streets. They're cul-de-sacs. Reverse quickly. So tell us a bit more about this show before you.
Well, it's running until the 13th of January, and it's selling really well. They asked me to mention that, because a lot of people don't know, there are two shows on Monday on New Year's Eve, and it's a great way to spend New Year's Eve.
Of course, it would be perfect. Review of the year.
Yeah,
perfect.
So they're doing a show at 5:45 and 8:45, and there's availability because people haven't really known. I think it's only sold about half the house. So, it's certainly one that I'm going to get along to. One of the earlier or the later, because you have time afterwards anyway to get to midnight, and I think the bar will be open in the theatre too, which is always a good thing. And it's a review of the year, and we look at everything, and you'll see a lot of recognisable faces because I use slides to remind us of what happened during the year. So you see faces popping up, and We Didn't Light the Fire, Billy Joel.
Oh, yes.
Well, I rewrote that song called It's Really Getting Dire, and we sing that, and there's 143 slides of recognisable faces.
Fantastic.
Pop into that one, that things happen through the year. Some very funny, some a bit scary, but they all appear right throughout it as well. And it's great. It's a great show. I mean, it has a bit of bite to it as well. But last night, people at the end are singing and waving their arms in the encore of The Troubles Are Over in Ulster.
And what about you personally, Dan Gordon, or professionally? What else are you doing?
Now that I've kind of finished with the lyric for the time being, I'm actually setting up for Broadway in New York. We're taking the show you mentioned earlier, The Boat Factory, which is a two-hander show, a bit like Stones in His Pockets,
if anybody remembers that,
about the shipyard in Belfast. And we're taking it to London. We're taking it to a lighthouse off the coast of Scotland.
A lighthouse?
Yes, it's Dunnet Head, which is the most northerly point of Scotland beyond John of Groats. And you can see the Northern Lights, apparently, and they've turned it into an arts centre. So I'm going to do it there. But I'm also doing it off Broadway. I'm also doing it in the King's Head in Islington for a month in August. And we're also doing the show in the Opera House in Belfast on the 28th of April for one night only before we embark on our international tour.
Yeah. Fantastic.
So it's great. It's better than working
going
for
well.
Them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is. It is great, yeah. And I'm also working on a film. I'm writing a film. And it's not just one of those, I'm writing tomorrow. I actually have written the film, and I've now got encouragement from the Northern Ireland Film Commission to take it to the next stage. And again, not giving too much away, but it's about the shipyard. So yeah, I'm going.
Life is good.
Life's great. I don't have to get a proper job yet.
Brilliant. And we hope that 2013 is good to you.
Although I'm not happy about the number 13. Oh, 13, it really bugs
me. How superstitious are you?
Well, I am a bit. Not terribly, but 13 bugs me. In fact, when I wrote The Boat Factory, I left out scene 13. There is no scene 13 in it. And also, when I did the drafts, you redraft a script, there was no draft 13. It finishes on 14, which is really 13. But because what I discovered when they were doing the slips in the shipyard, they went 9, 10, 11, 12, 14. There was no slip number 13 in the shipyard.
That's right.
Yeah. So I'm a bit worried about it. I'd rather do 2012 again or skip to 2014 and see if we can do a better job.
Wasn't Dan in Foreign Bodies?
Oh, no! Somebody's elderly, or their granda told them about it.
Yeah.
Yes, I was. I played Tom, the motor mechanic in Foreign Bodies.
I remember.
Who was a...
That was brilliant.
Yeah, it was written by the guy that wrote the Billy plays. It was Graham Reid and
Graham
Bernard
Reid.
Farrell.
And it was a sitcom that was on the BBC. Was it Friday nights it was on?
It was, yes. Yeah, that's very good. It was on BBC Two. But again, it was in a time when... It was in the early 80s, mid 80s. And it was a time when our accents weren't very popular because we only ever heard them on the news.
They were only heard in anger.
Yeah. And because they didn't report things like 150,000 people went to work yesterday. Yeah. And so they kind of moved it around the schedules. But we made more of that than they did of Fawlty Towers, or some mothers do have them. We made three series of that. It was a gift. It was grateful.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Dan, always a pleasure, never a chore.
Thank you.
I hope next year, whatever year it happens to be, is good to you.
And can I apologise now to Julian and UTV for what we do to him in the play and the lyric as well. It was just we got a bad batch of makeup.
Okay, that's a good way to sell the show. Now suddenly lots of people want to go. Dan Gordon, you're a star.